Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and the tape that I did on Bill Clinton, that's a special tape in between Chapter 2 of Numbers and Chapter 3 of Numbers. And now we're going to ask, this is Chapter 3 of Numbers, and it has to do with what?
The Levites appointed for service.
So the Levites are appointed for service. They're a special tribe that was chosen to do the work of the Lord regarding the holy things. The other people were not appointed to do that, and they were not even appointed to be near the tabernacle at all. The Levites were the only ones to be encamped around the tabernacle, and if anybody went in there and started mingling around or something, they were to be put to death. And so the Bible keeps telling us, keep your place, boy. Keep your place, girl. You're not to touch certain things. We have our own duties and things that we've been appointed to do by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we ask that you bring this these lessons, anoint this chapter, and teach us all the lessons of it into our spirits, into our minds, and into our bodies. Because what good would it be? We're going to be judged for all the things that we did in our body. And if we're going to attempt to do something for you that we've never been appointed to do, well, then that's going to go against us at the judgment bar. And so we're only to do the things that you have appointed for us to do. The office that you have appointed us. We're not to be busybodies or troublemakers in the church. You've never appointed anybody to do that. And you never appointed me to do anybody else's job or anybody in the church to do my job. People just appoint themselves to do that. And, Lord, I know that's the right thing, because otherwise you wouldn't have so much to do about here is the appointment and anyone else that does anything like this is going to be put to death. So the Levites are appointed for that, and they are the ones that have to attend with the church. Now, here in the New Testament, we all are to be spiritual, but we all have different offices in the body of Christ. Doesn't mean that all of us are appointed to be pastors. It said some are appointed pastors. Just some, not all of you. And some teachers, and some, not all teachers, some preachers, some prophets, just some. And some of you are just helpers. You got to help the rest of us and help the church. So, you know, you got to, in other words, I have to keep my nose out of your business. But I have the overall holy authority over the entire church that the Lord has given to me to pastor and prophesy over, and also to teach, and whatever else he has me do. And that's my job. And those of you that are new, you come into the church and you say, well, I'm going to come in and teach this different doctrine, a doctrine that I heard at some other church. No, you're not. You're going to learn here, or else you have to leave. Because the Lord never appointed you to come in and usurp the authority over my ministry. If you think you're that hot and that big, well, then go and open your own ministry. Now, there's a couple men that used to be at this church, and they've written me a letter. I got it today, and they said that they were kicked out of the church. Because they went someplace and started collecting donations and using the money for themselves under the name of our church. And I had to tell the people that were giving them the donations that they were not of this church, and they were arrested, and they were going to put them in prison, because you're not allowed to collect money on donations if you're not really giving it to the church that you say that you belong to. If you don't belong to the church and you're doing that, that's a criminal offense. And the Attorney General of the state will throw you in prison. You better read the law. So I can't let just anybody come in that's done these things before and trust them to open up a church in Tampa, St. Petersburg area, or anywhere else in the world. I mean, you have to really be a Christian in order to open up one of these works. And people that are liars and collecting funds just to feather their own nest, they're not using the funds to build churches like I am, and to get the gospel out like I am, and to feed and clothe and house the hungry. They're doing it for their own self and their wives. And they were treating the people in the church out in Miami very bad, because they were at one time in the church, and they're taking the money and making them, they weren't even giving them food. So I kicked them out. And so, Lord, let everybody learn from this. Your way of thinking and the way I think is just like you do. And that you know that I know that you would never tolerate anything like that, and you know that I will not tolerate anything like that. So, Father, teach everybody that they are not as big as they think they are. They're only big if they're doing what you tell them to do, and if they keep their place. And if they don't keep their place, you're liable to kill them. I've seen you kill a lot of people in and out of the church, those that come against your work. And you're going to do a lot more. I see you killing people in the world with plagues, famines, pestilence, all these different diseases, earthquakes, tornadoes, twisters, every kind of thing you're cursing people with today. And you don't tell in the Bible that it's Mother Nature. You say it's you. So, Lord God, let us give your life-giving spirit to the words of this book, and anoint me, Lord, to tell the things, put it on my heart, of what you would like for me to say. And we all ask it in Jesus' name. And destroy the devil, Lord, in every way. And when we hear something coming out of the devil's mouth, to not be a coward, but to come against it. Doesn't make any difference if it's a former president or a president or a king or the pope or who. We have to come against them. And we know that if you be with us, there's nobody could be against us. And I trust you, Lord. These people have been threatening me for 40 years, and I'm still alive. And I know that if you're with me, there's nothing they can do to me unless you would let them do it. And if you want me to go, well, I'm ready. Praise the Lord. Lord God, we ask that these things be riddled into us by your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our soon-coming King. In Jesus' name, amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Numbers chapter 3, the Levites appointed for service. King James Version, verse 1. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. Verse 2. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Verse 3. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. Verse 4. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord, when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children, and Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Verse 6. Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him.
Yeah, notice it's only the tribe of Levi. The other 11 tribes have to stay at home, okay? Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Verse 7. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation, before the tabernacle of the congregation.
The whole congregation. There's possibly 3 million people there. All right? The whole charge. All the charge. So a pastor, prophet has charge over the whole congregation. Then what?
To do the service of the tabernacle.
Yes.
Verse 8. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. Verse 9. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel.
So Levi and his son, Aaron and his sons are the priests, and the rest of them are Levites. They're to help the priests, okay? They're all from the same tribe, but one is just the descendants of Aaron are priests, and the rest of the people are just Levites. They're all the same tribe, but only Aaron's as priests. Okay, then what else?
Verse 10, And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. But the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
But anyone else, I doesn't care if it's Israelite or they're strangers to the priesthood, they cannot be involved with that. They have to stay away, or they'll surely die. God will put them to death. And so when you know that you're keeping the commandments of the Lord, and you're keeping your own office, then whatsoever you ask the Lord, you know, if anybody's coming against me, or if President Bush, Clinton, former President Clinton is going to come against me because I'm straightening out the lies that he's told, well then, Lord, take care of him. And the Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, now maybe he's never attacked anybody else of the Lord, but he has me, and Lord, I'm depending on you to protect me. Okay, Father, because I don't know if he's ever killed anybody before. A lot of people say that he has, even in his own administration. But if he tries to do anything with me, Lord, you take care of him for me. You know, I'm not, certainly you know I'm not going to do anything. I'm too busy bringing messages, and I'm not allowed to do anything like that. And I would not break the things that you told me not to do. No carnal weapons. Those that live by that kind of a sword shall die by that kind of a sword. And I don't want to wind up in hell. All right, then go ahead.
Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel.
Right, just the Levites, that's all. Nobody else. Everyone else.
Therefore the Levites shall be mine. Verse 13, because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord.
Okay. Well, what does the Lord want beast for? Because he says that is his food, because they're symbolic of us, Jesus and himself, we who are his body, that are his food. And later on in Numbers it says, everything that you sacrifice unto me must be holy, because it is my food. He comes right out and says it, okay? Then what else?
Verse 14, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, verse 15, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number them. Verse 16, and Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he was commanded. Verse 17, and these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. Verse 18, and these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei. Verse 19, and the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Izhar, Hebron and Uziel. Verse 20, and the sons of Merari by their families, Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to the house of their fathers. Verse 21, of Gershon was the family of the Libnites, and the family of the Shimites. These are the families of the Gershonites. Verse 22, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, even those that were numbered of them, were 7,500. Translation, verse 1 through 22, the Levites appointed for service. Verse 1, this is the family line of Aaron and Moses, as it was recorded when the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. Verse 2, Aaron's sons were Nadab, he was the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Verse 3, they were appointed and set apart to minister as priests. Verse 4, but Nadab and Abihu died in the Lord's presence in the wilderness of Sinai, when they burned before the Lord a different kind of fire than he had commanded. Since they had no sons, this left only Eleazar and Ithamar to serve as priests with their father Aaron. Verse 5, then the Lord said to Moses, verse 6, quote, call forward the tribe of Levi, and present them to Aaron the priest as his assistants. Verse 7, they will serve Aaron and the whole community, performing their sacred duties in and around the tabernacle. Verse 8, they will also maintain all the furnishings of the sacred tent, serving in the tabernacle on behalf of all the Israelites. Verse 9, assign the Levites to Aaron and his sons as their assistants. Verse 10, appoint Aaron and his sons to carry out the duties of the priesthood. Anyone else who comes too near the sanctuary must be executed. Unquote. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, verse 12, quote, I have chosen the Levites from among the Israelites, as substitutes for all the firstborn sons of the people of Israel. The Levites are mine. Verse 13.
Because so it's not really all the firstborn, it's just the Lord's using the Levites as the substitutes for all the firstborn, okay? Then what else?
Because all the firstborn sons are mine. From the day I killed all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, I set apart for myself all the firstborn in Israel of both men and animals. They are mine. I am the Lord. Unquote. The census of the Levites. Verse 14. The Lord spake again to Moses there in the wilderness of Sinai. He said, quote, verse 15, take a census of the tribe of Levi by his families and clans.
This is the first time the Lord took a census on them. Okay. Then what else? They were not to be accounted in the census, but this was a census exclusively for themselves, the Levites. So the priesthood. Then what?
Count every male who is 1 month old or older. Unquote. Verse 16. So Moses counted them just as the Lord had commanded. Verse 17. Levi had 3 sons, who were named Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. Verse 18. The clans descended from Gershom were named for 2 of his descendants, Libni and Shimei. Verse 19. The clans descended from Kohath were named for 4 of his descendants, Aaron, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. Verse 20. The clans descended from Merari were named for 2 of his descendants, Mahli and Mushi. These were the Levites' clans, listed according to their family groups. Verse 21. The descendants of Gershon were composed of the clans descended from Libni and Shimei. Verse 22. There were 7,500 males 1 month old or older among these Gershonite clans. King James Version, verse 23. The families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. Verse 24. And the chief of the house of the father of the Gershonites shall be Eliasaph the son of Lael. Verse 25. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 26. And the hangings of the court, and the curtain for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the altar round about, and the cords of it for all the service thereof. Verse 27. And of Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. Verse 28. In the number of all the males from a month old and upward were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. Verse 29. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. Verse 30. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites shall be Eliasaphan, the son of Uziel. Verse 31. And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary, wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof. Verse 32. And Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. Verse 33. Of Merari was the family of the Mahlites, and the family of the Mushites, these are the families of Merari. Verse 34. And those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, were 6,200. Verse 35. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. Verse 36. And under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards in the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serveth thereto. Verse 37. And the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. Verse 38. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary, for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
Anyone other than these people would be put to death. Anywhere, the other 11 tribes or anybody else. Okay, then what?
Translation, verse 23 through 38. Verse 23. They were assigned the area to the west of the tabernacle for their camp. Verse 24. The leader of the Gershonite clans was Eliasaph, son of Lael. Verse 25. These two clans were responsible to care for the tent of the tabernacle with its layers of coverings, its entry curtains. Verse 26. The curtains of the courtyard that surrounded the tabernacle and altar, the curtain at the courtyard entrance, the cords, and all the equipment related to their use. Verse 27.
See, now, there was no one Levite that was in charge of the whole church. There were some that were in charge of one aspect of the church, the curtains, another one with the pegs, the other one with the cords, and so on. It was a big job, and it was, you know, some churches are way bigger than this, and they only have one custodian to take care of the whole thing. But, you know, we all have charge over the church. We have the ones that the Lord appointed to be in charge of the entire church. But there are other people, because we're now a holy priesthood, a whole body of Christ, and each one has their own office. And it's just showing that every little detail, they have a little group of people doing that particular thing. And another group of people takes care of another part of the church. And there has to be people that in the New Testament here that take care of baby Christians. There's another one that has to be taking care of the food. Another one has to take care of transportation. Another one has to take, because we're living at a different era of time. And different people to do trucks. They carry stuff. Another one's just carry passengers. Another people just officiate in the services. Another one's, they all supposed to give their testimonies. Some people are supposed to work the telephones. Some people can, there's just every kind of, some the printing press. Some do the, there's very few people that have been called to typeset. Other people are charged to photograph. Other people are charged to do musical instruments. There's just all kinds of jobs, and you're supposed to do them well. All right, and then it just goes on and on. I'm appointed to write literature, to do tapes, to teach and preach and prophesy, and all the things that the Lord has me doing. And anybody else that comes close to trying to do it, if they want to write something, that's fine. Let me see it first, and if I ask the Lord, if it's of the Lord, then put it out. I've let other people write things, okay? But I have to get permission from the Lord first. And then what else?
Verse 27. The descendants of Kohath were composed of the clans descended from Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Verse 28. There were 8,600 males, 1 month old or older, among these Kohathite clans. They were responsible for the care of the sanctuary. Verse 29. They were assigned the area south of the tabernacle for their camp. Verse 30. The leader of the Kohathite clans was Elizaphan, son of Uzziel. Verse 31. These four clans were responsible for the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, and the altars, the various utensils used in the sanctuary, the inner curtain, and all the equipment related to their use.
So they're the ones that are supposed to carry those things and to put them up and to take care of them. That's the Ark of the Covenant and so on. Okay, then what else?
Verse 32. Eleazar the priest, Aaron's son, was the chief administrator over all the Levites.
So he's in charge of designating everybody. Nobody's supposed to jump up and do whatever they want. They have to go to him for permission. He's the overseer of the whole operation. Okay, then what?
With special responsibility for the overall oversight of the sanctuary.
He's the overseer, the overall overseer of all these jobs, because he's the one that got all these instructions to make sure all these people do these things. It says he has to examine them to make sure that they do them. Then what?
Verse 33. The descendants of Merari were composed of the clans descended from Mahlai and Mushi. Verse 34. There were 6,200 males, 1 month old or older, among these Merarite clans. Verse 35. They were assigned the area north of the tabernacle for their camp.
See, so even all these different tribes were assigned to encamp around the camp, but then these Levites were also assigned to camp around the tabernacle. because there was a whole gang of these different Levites that were encamped around the tabernacle, and then outside of them were the rest of the tribes of Israel. So it was like another cushion. It's like the outside people were the body, and then the encampment of these Levites around the tabernacle were like the soul, and then the descendants of Aaron were like the spirit. They had they were able to go into the most holy place. Okay, so it's just like a constant reminder that it's body, soul, spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? Then what?
The leader of the Merarite clans was Zuriel, son of Abihail. Verse 36. These two clans were responsible for the care of the frames supporting the tabernacle, the crossbars, the pillars, the base, and all the equipment related to their use.
So they were the ones, when they were on the move, they had to pick all these staves up and all that and move them. It wasn't like when God says, okay, move. Everybody said, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? What are you going to do? Everybody knew what their job was, all right? And they didn't try, the ones that were told to carry the sticks, the staves that put the tent up and all that, or the badger skins and all that, they didn't rush in there and, oh, we want to be the ones to carry the Ark of the Covenant. No, they had to stay out of there. Amen?
Amen.
That was just for somebody else to do. Then what else?
Verse 37. Also responsible for the posts of the courtyard and all their bases, pegs, and cords. Verse 38. The area in front of the tabernacle in the east toward the sunrise was reserved for the tents of Moses and of Aaron and his sons, who had the final responsibility for the sanctuary on behalf of the people of Israel.
So they got to camp closest to the door of the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron and his son. Okay, then what else?
Anyone other than a priest or Levite who came too near the sanctuary was to be executed. King James Version, verse 39. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord, throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward, were 22,000. Verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel, from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. Verse 41. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. Verse 42. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel. Verse 43. And all the firstborn males, by the number of names, from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,273. Verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 45, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. Verse 46. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, verse 47, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece, by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. Verse 48, and thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. Verse 49. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Verse 50. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Translation, verse 39 through 50. So among the Levite clans counted by Moses and Aaron at the Lord's command, there were 22,000 males, 1 month old or older. Redeeming the firstborn sons. Verse 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, now count all the firstborn sons in Israel who are 1 month old or older, and register each name. Verse 41. The Levites will be reserved for me as substitutes for the firstborn sons of Israel. I am the Lord. and the Levites' livestock are mine as substitutes for the firstborn livestock of the whole nation of Israel. Verse 42. So Moses counted the firstborn sons of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded. Verse 43. The total number of firstborn sons who were 1 month old or older was 22,273. Verse 44. Now the Lord said to Moses, verse 45, quote, take the Levites in place of the firstborn sons of the people of Israel, and take the livestock of the Levites as substitutes for the firstborn livestock of the people of Israel. The Levites will be mine. I am the Lord. Verse 46. To redeem their 273 firstborn sons of Israel, who are in excess of the number of Levites. Verse 47. Collect 5 pieces of silver for each person, each piece the same as the standard sanctuary shekel.
Okay, rather than take the cattle from these people, and rather than making them Levites, or the tribe of Levites, just take 5 shekels from each one of them. And that will be in place. So the Lord is substituting all the firstborn in Israel as to be his. Then that way he'd give them all to the priest. Instead of that, he just said, have them give money. Okay, because it'd be too many of the tribe of Levi. It would break up the whole camp of Israel. Everybody that would be getting to be firstborn would be over there with the Levites, and I don't want them there because they're not the Levites. Just give money instead, okay? Okay, then what else?
Verse 48. Give the silver to Aaron and his sons as the redemption price for the extra firstborn sons, unquote. Verse 49. So Moses collected redemption money for the firstborn sons of Israel, who exceeded the number of Levites. Verse 50. The silver collected on behalf of the firstborn sons of Israel came to about 34 pounds in weight. King James Version, verse 51. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Translation, verse 51. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons, as the Lord had commanded.
Okay, so that was the last verse in chapter 3 of Numbers, and now I've got some commentary.
3, verse 1 through 51. This chapter covers the census of the Levites who were exempted from any military role in the camp in chapters 1 and 2. It deals with the tribe of Levi as the substitute for the firstborn of the Israelites, the position of the camps of the Levitical families and their responsibilities, and the superiority of the Aaronite Moses family over the rest of the Levites. 3 verse 1. The meaning of, quote, records, unquote. The Hebrew word is a technical term for genealogy. So records means genealogy. What is reported in verses 1 through 4 is different from the census. The census reports numbers belonging to families. The genealogy traces the descent of individuals from their ancestors. See especially Genesis 11:27, 25:19, 37:2. The same word for genealogy stands at the turning point of the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, respectively. 3 verse 3, quote, consecrated, unquote, the meaning literally means, quote, he filled their hands, unquote. This refers to the ordination rites commanded in Exodus chapters 28 and 29 and performed in Leviticus chapter 8. There is the question of whether the model of ministry separating clergy from laity should be carried over from the Old Testament into the church.
Okay, there. It's like talking about, should we carry the things of laity and what about, you know, the priests, and we're a nation of priests, should we be separate people that in the New Testament when we're all priests from, is there a difference between laity and the priesthood here? Is what I'm saying, okay? And what else? Laity means just the 11 other tribes. Because now we're all a nation of priests, you understand? Okay, so go ahead.
There is a difference between congregation, pastors, prophets, teachers, preachers, and evangelists.
It's still that way. Amen?
Amen.
You understand? Even all priests. Amen?
Amen.
But there's still a structure. There's still the arms, the legs, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, and some helps. He says that he gave some preachers, some teachers, some evangelists, some prophets, some, not all. Amen?
Amen.
So it still holds over into the New Testament. You understand?
Yes.
It's good to know that, right? Because everybody said, well, we're all priests, you know, so we're going to go into the, you know, do this and that and this and that. No, no. Okay, what else?
A lot of Christians have a tradition that they all become just one. They just have the same office as everyone else.
No, no, there can't be just everybody an ear, everybody a nose, everybody an eye, a mouth, or whatever, you know. There's still, it's a body, okay, it's a structure. All right, what else?
Even though you become one body in Christ, each one has a different office. So it doesn't make any difference how much these modern-day, contemporary, supposed-to-be evangelists tend to downplay the importance of the distinction between clergy and laity, modeling their view of ministry like democratization, or if they want to be like, we're all born equal.
Yeah, like democracy, you know. Everyone's equal. Like a baby Christian is a low office in the script. He has to grow first before he can even find out what his office is going to be. And first we got to find out if he's going to really stick and stay and make it pay. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Like we're all born equal, democratization of the Spirit. No, the Spirit is not a Democrat. He is a dictator.
He's not a Republican either. Right?
Right.
Okay, what else?
He set up rules and regulations and a structure, and that's the way it is. Some use the Chronicles, or chapter 11, that is what that means, that Moses thought it to be the same way. See the notes on Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. 3, verse 7. The work of the tabernacle. As the role of the Levites is different from the work of Aaron and his descendants, who, quote, ministered as priests.
See, they're all, in it. They're all the holy people, but there's still only Aaron and his sons are to be priests. They're supposed to hear from God and do the office of the priesthood. So there's still a difference between a strong separation everywhere you go in the Bible. Amen? Okay, go ahead.
That's a lot different also from the clergy to the laity in the New Testament. The problem is we have a lot of people trying to be clergy when they're not even good laity yet.
Right. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
There's some pretty bad laity, and they all say, well, we're all priests. They're like Miriam and Aaron, who says, hey, we're all part of the we're part of the holy family. We have the same office as Moses. Amen? And say, no, the difference between you is that, yes, you're all the Levites, but I talk face to face with Moses, you know? And with you people, I don't. Okay, that's a great difference. Amen?
Amen.
Like man to man, God to man. There's a big difference right there. You got to... And that's not even splitting hairs. That's just fact. It's truth, okay? Okay, then what else? God said that, not me. Okay, what else?
That you can see in verse 4. A Levite who was not a descendant of Aaron was not authorized to do priestly work, quote, the outsider, unquote, verse 10. 3, verse 12 through 13. Firstborn. The firstborn are God's in recognition of man's dependency on him for life. This special claim gave them high value in Israel's society. Because they were God's property, they had to be bought by their father. Here the Levites are the substitute for the human firstborn.
That'd be just too much for everybody to just take their firstborn over to the tribe of Levi and say, these are the Lord's. No. He already took that, so the Levites are substitutes for that. He has them in place, and every one of the firstborn of Israel just give 5 shekels, all right? at that time had come to 400 and some pounds, or whatever it was. 40, what was it? 45 pounds, 400 and some pounds. That makes no difference. If whatever it was. All right, then what else?
3, verse 17 through 39. The pattern of the census report is the same for all the three groups. 1, the names of the families in the group. 2, number in the group. 3, place where they were to camp. 4, name of the leader. 5, the list of the duties of the group. Each one of them had a different duty. Chapter 4 expands on the last element of the list and tells how the duties were to be executed. 3, verse 40 through 51. It was found that there were 273 more firstborn than Levites in the camp. Verse 46. Therefore, these 273 had to be exchanged for money. Verse 47. Instead of Levites. See note on verses 12 through 13. The money helped finance the tabernacle. Now, a lot of people today feel that when they get saved, that there is no responsibility at all. But chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 2 through 49, shows that this detailed organization of the Levites and priests illustrates the principle that God's calling is accompanied by responsibility. If God calls you, it isn't just to save your soul, but there is a responsibility that goes with it, and an accountability. Out of Israel, God sovereignly chose one tribe, that was the Levites, and out of that tribe, He chose specific families to lead Israel in worship. With great privilege comes great responsibility. When God places us in a position of influence, we must not take it lightly. We need to recognize our responsibility to obey God and remember our accountability before Him.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Numbers chapter 3. And until chapter 4, sometime this evening, God willing, make sure that you remember all these things. Keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. And those that do will be like trees planted by the water, the living water, the Spirit of God. And that's our commission, is to walk in the Spirit and to not have self-pity or to be selfish in any way, but to just do what the Lord says. Just do what He says and be interested in the things that the Lord is doing. Because if there's no interest there, how much interest do you think the Lord will have in saying, "Come in, my good and faithful servant, into the kingdom of heaven," when you stand there on the last day? If you want the Lord to be interested in you enough to take you and keep you safe in these perilous days, the most perilous days of all time, then be interested in Him, because He's your my guardian, He's your my Savior, He's your my King, your my Deliverer, He's your my King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And be interested in Him, because you really don't have anybody else in this world that's going to be as interested in you to deliver you. I'm without the ability to deliver a lot of people, unless some people want to have an operation or something, and God gives me enough money, or if they don't get healed, and I can give them the money. It's a strange thing. Yesterday also, the day before yesterday, I gave... There was a person that was going to have to go back to prison if they didn't get an operation, because they were saying that the prison will take care of the operation, which I know they really don't. Some people they do, but you have to wait for so many months that sometimes a lot of people die before the operation happens. So we loaned this man the money, and he just come in. So his wife left him because she said, "I just can't understand a church why they would do that for somebody." And so they left the man because we paid for his operation. Isn't that amazing? She just threw a royal fit. And I thought, well, maybe it's good that she did that, because the man is only about 35 years old. And it's good that he finds out what kind of a wench he has at a young age like that, before he gets old and then finds out that if he gets a blessing from God, or one of God's people, that he just can't understand it. And so she just left him, got up and left him, and I'll tell you one thing. If I had a wife that did something like that, I'd just be praising and thanking the Lord that she left. Amen?
Amen.
But it just is. There's got to be something wrong with the church that would do something like that. So you can just see how twisted and evil people are in this world today, that they take kindness and make evil out of it. But we have the word of the Lord, and we know it doesn't make any difference what they say about me. You know, because if we did do evil, then everybody would say, hey, we're just normal. It's just like Bill Clinton or anybody else where they lie so much. They say, well, you know, we're all just human. But when you do something for people, and then they just think there's got to be something in it for them. This guy, all he is just he works as a dishwasher or something down at some restaurant. We don't expect to ever get anything from him. And I always tell people there's no strings attached. You know, God will bless me for whatever I do for you. I just didn't want to see the man die. He showed me a picture of his wife and kids in a wallet. And I just thought, I know what it's like to be in prison. I was there for false charges. I don't know about this man. His name is not significant at the moment. But I don't think he was there for nothing. But I was. And now that we get out... And if you don't do something for people, I can understand people talking about you, but I've never, never, even a dog won't bite the hand of people that feed it. This woman is worse than a dog in my eyes. And immediately after we gave that money the next day, the Lord sent a little bit more than that amount right back in. So, I mean, and it she can't understand it, and probably a lot of you couldn't understand it either. She was weeping and crying when she got the checks. I had a Buster came over and picked it up and gave it to her. And then all of a sudden she just got, the devil started bombarding her mind. And she just saw something evil in that. Because she couldn't understand. There's nobody in this world that does stuff like that for people. I don't even know the man. And because I felt the Lord telling me to give it to him. And we really don't have money to be handing out to people for nothing. But I just figured I don't want to see the man die. I don't want to see him go back to prison. I don't want him to be away from his wife and children. And the Lord doesn't either. So it was a check for $16,000 and some dollars. And it was for four people, the anesthesiologist, the doctor, the hospital, and some other x-rays or something. And the next day, the Lord sent in $16,444, a little bit more than what it was. And naturally, the people of the world, they don't do things like that. They give money to false prophets. They think that they're going to be blessed by God for that. But if they give it to the Lord in the name of Jesus, and they just think that the person is of the Lord, but people better read the Bible and find out for themselves whether the people that are preaching the gospel that they're supporting, that they're of the Lord or not. And if they're not, and you're supporting Satan, you're going to be cursed for that. But, you know, we're supposed to be concerned about people, to prefer others than ourselves, and to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Never before has anybody picked up the tab for me like that in my life. Even my own parents. And I just put myself in that guy's place. I'd really love it if I needed an operation bad enough, and the Lord wasn't healing me, because I really don't know how saved he is or anything, but I wanted to be a bright and shining light for the Lord in this world. And I just said, I put myself in his place. If I needed an operation, and I was going to go back to prison, because the doctor said, you need the operation, we're going to have to go to these different government agencies to see if we can get money for you. He says, well, the prison system will find out, and I'm not allowed to go to a hospital. Well, I never heard anything like that. I don't know that that's true, but anyway, I says, well, here it is. I mean, take it, and no strings attached. And his wife literally flipped out on him and left him. She said, I just don't see how anybody could do something like that. Of course, you people in the church are used to things like this, doing things like that, but people out in the world think there's something sinister besides that, because it's just not natural, carnal, satanic of the devil. In other words, you're not real if you're not satanic to them. And that's why people are absolutely crazy. So, but this doesn't throw my soul. I mean, somebody else, the same thing happens. I'm going to do whatever the Lord tells me to do, and the Lord will give me the money right back. Amen. As a matter of fact, He promises it 100-fold. If you give $1,000, you're going to get $100,000 back. You give $2,000, you're going to get $200,000 back. If we get $16,000, you get $1,600,000 back. That's $1.6 million, isn't it? Or more. I don't even want to figure it out. I'm too tired right now. All right. So you know, we're going to get blessed. And whether we do or not, I know the Lord will. And some people say, "Well, how do you know?" Because it happens all the time with us. We've been doing this for years. But remember these things that you've heard in chapter 3 of Numbers, and all throughout the Bible that we've read up to chapter 3 in Numbers. Concentrate upon the Lord, meaning to think about the Lord all day, one day at a time. And God bless you, and praise the Lord. Amen.